one of the many issues today that sort of divides the Orthodox rabbinate, besides issues of you know, women, et cetera, is that there are many Orthodox who nowadays, they convert people on far more meager standards, more lenient standards, because the feeling is, of course, people are going to get married anyway, the relationship is happening anyway, you save a lot of agbas nefesh and distress to the families of either the man or the woman who are Jewish, and therefore let's rely on any possible leniency to convert people nowadays. So you'd have people that Orthodox rabbis are converting nowadays that, quite honestly, and they recognize this, you know, there's no way that those same people they're converting would be allowed to get married in Israel. You know, that's for sure. They wouldn't probably even be allowed to get married by most rabbis, even in this country. But they feel that it's worth sort of pursuing those avenues, even though doing those conversions themselves lead to controversy. But these are just two of many issues of controversy. Hopefully, and we'll get to sort of some of these issues over the course of this week and 2 weeks. Yeah.
So, since it's our school, I was wondering, when did the standards change? Because you see with Ruth, it's pretty, okay, you know, it seems, at least on the surface, it doesn't seem like she went through such a very long process to become a Jew.
One pasuk, finish.
That's it. Hey, your people are my
right,
people.
Right.
That's it. So it seems like over the years, and like a lot of other things in Judaism, Orthodox Judaism, the standards keep getting stricter and stricter and stricter and stricter. What are the actual
right.
standards so, like, from a public standpoint?
So, you know, maybe this actually might be a good topic, maybe even to give a share about over Shavuos itself, because there's a lot of discussion, let's say, in the Rishonim about what was the deal with, for instance, Shlomo HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech's wives, you know, Rus, Shimshon, and Delilah, etc. Were these sort of serious conversions? Were they not serious conversions? How much is halacha, which obviously is a very, very difficult topic to sort of digest, how much has halacha sort of evolved over a period of time, from Tanaitic times until now? That certainly is a fascinating question. But what certainly is clear is that from the early rabbinic literature, they already make it clear there has to be certain levels of acceptance. This is not something that came about in 1948, it's not something that came about in 1872, right? Even from the very earliest, you know, sources of the Tanayim, already the standards of Geirus are certainly very serious. How that interplays with Rus, certainly an open question, and something that we'll try to address over the course of Yom Tov. Okay. Right.
And then the Moranos
and everything else, at that point, I think it's going to go. Well, listen, again, as I said, you know, I'm not disagreeing with you, Mickey, but this is not one of these cases where up until 50 years ago, the standards were lenient, and 50 years ago we decided to become Machmir. As you yourself will see, like in the sources, you know, like even from the time of Chazal, the standards of Geirus don't really seem to be any different than they are now. And in fact, you know, when you go through, when we will, I mean, there's so much to do, but we'll try to finish by at a normal hour. You know, when you go through the sources, basically the procedure that's mentioned in the Mishnah is really the exact procedure we do nowadays, almost like word for word. And it's sort of an area where we have not improvised or become more stringent, but again, sort of leaving sort of Tanakh aside. Okay, so
then there shouldn't be much of a difference between one rabbi and another rabbi. I mean,
well, Mickey, from your you know, lips to God's ears. Listen, the reality is, which we'll see in a second, we sort of have to wait a few pages, if you don't mind. You know, the difficulty is really, because we know, as you'll see in the Mishnah Gemara, it has to be an acceptance of mitzvahs. If I tell you accept a mitzvah, okay, so then, you know, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean sort of in a general sense, I believe in mitzvahs? Does that mean that I'll keep Shabbos? Does it mean that I keep everything? Does it mean this? So you're right. So while what's not sort of debatable is the necessity of Kabbalah and mitzvahs, the standards, the centrality of that, you know, that's something which is not completely laid out and therefore perhaps led to a certain complexity. Okay, I want to just sort of start from the beginning, even before we get to some of the controversy, because I never want to be one of those people, you know, when you sometimes you go to Shirim, a person always wants to make some title, like the world's about to end, you know, like some controversial topic with some catch. It sounds like you said want Torah to be Torah. You know, not everything has to be some type of, you know, contemporary issue to sort of draw people in.
I always sort of felt that like diminished Torah a little bit, the necessity of doing that. So I'll just sort of learn for a few minutes, even just something that is far more fundamental than the controversy about Geirus, is just the obligation as far as our relationship to Geirus. I actually had a question recently of a wonderful, wonderful, amazing young woman who Alana and I are very close with, and she's still single, and she asked that she was just read a shidduch to somebody who he himself is a ger, right? And she felt like a little bit, I don't know how many of you would feel, you would feel as far as yourselves when you were dating or your children, you know, she felt like a little bit uncomfortable, you know, like sort of a different experience, and she felt so bad saying no, but at the same time, like, was she totally comfortable, you know, dating somebody, you know, his parents weren't Jewish, sort of his whole background is different, didn't go to Marishah, you know, the whole sort of, you know, the whole world is different, and part of the sensitivity of this amazing young woman is the knowledge of the following sources. The Pasuk says, source number one, very simple, cannot be any more simple. There's a mitzvah of loving the ger. Anybody know how many places this obligation is mentioned in the Torah? So there's almost like a lashon guzma, an exaggerated language used by some Rishonim. Some Rishonim say 24 times. 24 times. If we had Bamberger in here, he would start thinking 24 times. But some people say, yeah, it really means 24 times. Other Rishonim say it means 36 times, where we keep being told, love the convert, love the convert. But whatever it is, clearly, it's something that is significant. And the Rambam, which is not true by all Rishonim, the Rambam lists this mitzvah of Avas Ager as a completely separate mitzvah d'oraisa. Right, so let's say, which I think in our shul we have a number of gerim in our shul. So there's a special mitzvah of avas ager. Now, it doesn't mean you go up to somebody and, you know, you hug them in shul unless they want to hug. But again, there's like a certain you know, kindness, generosity that might affect an issue. Let's say by kedimus, by tzedakah, for instance, if someone who was born Jewish versus someone who was not born Jewish, they need chesed. There might be sort of an extra mitzvah helping someone who's a ger. Take a look at the Rambam. A mitzvah, hari zehi shetzivanu le'ehov es agerim, v'huamru yizborach v'haftam es ager. That's what the pasuk says. The alphabet b'shehaya nichla b'zeh, right, im Yisrael, b'amru v'haftoich kamocha, right, even though they're included in the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel, we have to love everybody, skipping a few words, av'abavor shenichnas b'toraseinu hosif lo hakel ahava v'yichil lo mitzvah nosefes, because they made a decision to join our nation, to sort of enter the tent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mitzaveh, commanded even another mitzvah of havas ager, and therefore there's two mitzvahs. There's a hatarecha kamocha, and there's also a havas ager. Take a look at this Medrash Tanchuma, which really sort of picks up where the Rambam left off. Of course, the Medrash came first. So Amar Reish Lakish, chaviv hu ager, the ger is even more beloved, shenizgayer me Yisrael, a ger is more chaviv than someone who was born Jewish. B'amidoson al Har Sinai, all of us, in theory, whose ancestors were at Har Sinai, lama, why is a ger more chaviv? Levishe lule shiro kolos uvrokim ve'aharim ro'ashim v'kol shofros. If our forefathers had not seen the whole dramatic show at Har Sinai, perhaps lo hayim mekavim as a Torah, right? Maybe they never would have accepted the Torah. V'zeshelo ra echad mehem. But here, the ger who comes, who sort of quote unquote sees the light on a college campus somewhere, Bava Hishlam Atmal Kosh Baruch Hu, he comes and he completes himself with God. The Kibol of Malchus Shemayim Yeshlecha Chaviv Mizeh. So obviously, Medrash Tanchuma says it's even greater as far as the ger. We want to sort of save time, so I mentioned the Gemara and Bava Metzia outside. You're probably thinking to yourself, Bava Metzia, what does Bava Metzia have to do in any way with the ger? How would we possibly even get to such a thing? So we know that in Bava Metzia we have such a concept called on Daf Nuntes, called Ona'a. Ona'a is the arch nemesis of the average Jewish businessman. Ona'a means you can only charge a sixth more than what it costs you. So if you go ahead and you buy a Mickey, a challah for $2, so you can charge, and there's a machlokas, the Gemara had a cheshbon at $2.40, not getting into your business practices, but there's an Isser Doraisa called Ona'a, and there's also, even beyond Ona'a, something called Ona'a's Dvarim. Ona'a's Dvarim means sort of verbally persecuting somebody with words. So the Gemara says in Bamsia that if you do onas dvarim to a ger, you actually violate three isurim. You violate three negative prohibitions. And to a normal Jew, it's one prohibition. If you do onas dvarim, you tell a guy, whatever you may say to this guy, so it's much more serious. Why is that? Take a look at the last few words in source number 4, mipnei shesuru ra. Surah probably means because they themselves turned away from something negative in their life. Sort of like, do we know that you're not supposed to remind about tshuva of their past? And not that, you know, not that a person can't be reminded, but there might be certain sensitivities. A person who's a ger, a person who's about tshuva, who's struggling to sort of fit into their new environment. Because we have many, many Bali Tshuva in our shul, and often you speak to people and they say they feel like the biggest idiot in the shul. It's not true, but they feel like everyone knows what's going on. They don't know what's going on. There's already a certain level of discomfort, and therefore there's sort of the need for the extra sensitivity on the part of the nation, and that's what the Gemara says. There are three Yisurim. They look at the Sifrei, an amazing Sifrei. So davar acher, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, so ahavehu al habrios ka'avram avicha, kinyon shenemar v'yasanefesh yesher asa b'charon el melamed, shaya avram avinu megari machnisim tachas kanfei yeshchina. What does this mean? That the way that we fulfill the mitzvah of loving God is by bringing other people to love God as well. And if you really love God, or if you really love... fill in the blank. Right? We used to have people who daven in our shul, Paul and Audra Bellitz. Paul should continue to have her Refuah Shleima. So Audra's mother is a Bala Tshuva, and they daven in a shul in Huntington, right? when she was just becoming frum. And Audra's, if you know Audra's mother, Cecile, she's a real, very enthusiastic person, a real go-getter, a real doer. And she used to stand in the parking lot outside their shopping center, or their food center in Huntington, with a big sign that says, "Come ask me about my synagogue." And that's why she would stand out there, sort of like, you know, the guys like protesting Verizon. You know, come ask me about, if you're really excited about something, you want to spread the word. So the way that you fulfill the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, right, that we create an Avas Hashem by loving Gerim, by bringing Gerim in, and that's something that the Rambam here itself says as well. Source number 6, take a look at the Rambam. HaMitzvah Shlishi Sisha Sivanu La'avo Yisaleh. The third mitzvah, the sefer mitzvah is that we should love God. Ukvar Amru, SheMitzvah Zu Koleles, Gam Kein SheNidrosh V'Nikra HaNoshim Kulam, La'avodaso Yisalo L'Hamin Bel. And part of that mitzvah is that we bring people into sort of the tent as well. We bring people to love God as well. We fulfill Avas Hashem by being misguided people, bringing people towards religion. All these mitzvos highlight, indicate an acceptance of Gerim, an Ava of Gerim, the Isurim of not in any way rejecting or hurting Gerim, fulfilling Avas Hashem by bringing Gerim into Yadus. All those things clearly show acceptance of Gerus in a very, very positive light.
Does it imply that we should be actively seeking Gerim? Or because you might say what the Sifri says, Shavon Avinu Megayim Machnisim Tachas Kanfei Yeshchina. Seems like it
let's go active. Out and proselytize and
yeah, right, exactly.
Right. So based on that sifrei, you would say that, you know, based on that sifrei, you would say that, you know, go to college campuses, you know, go burst into the church. But we know the Gemara says not to do that. Right? We know the Gemara says we're not looking to bring more Jews in. We're not looking to do all those things. Look at what the sifrei probably says. If a person's interested already, so let's go ahead and make it easy for them. Let's create a positive feeling towards Yadus. Probably the sifrei probably can't say let's go out and die. Have to go look for Gerim, but certainly that sifrei would probably leave to like a mistaken impression about how much we're recruiting potential Gerim. Anyway, by the way, have a counter statement towards all these sources that seem to be very embracing, very loving of Gerim. Anybody know of a Gemara that appears, I think, 3 places in the Bavli that would seem to sort of temper the enthusiasm by a few notches? So there is a statement brought down in the Bavli and Nida and Kedusha and other places. Koshim gerim li Yisrael kesapachas. A ger is difficult to the nation of Israel like a sapachas. Someone know what sapachas is? What's that? It's like it boils, or it's like an infection. It's like something. So that already, that's really not the statement that you want to, you know, mention at the Geirus convention. You know that. So the question is, well, you know, what does that mean? So that's actually sort of. There's actually not sort of. There's seven opinions brought down in Tosfos and Kedushin as far as what this statement means. Some opinions are, yeah, you know, they're very difficult because this is something that I've seen before, maybe you as well. You know, you convert a person, the person's very, very excited. Then, you know, 6 months later, 2 years later, they have lost their enthusiasm for Yahadus. And now perhaps there might be a bad influence on people who were never exposed to what this ger might have been exposed to in a previous life. And therefore it is difficult. You sort of have to know who a person is and where they're coming from. So that's sort of one opinion on one side of this spectrum. That we're sort of wary about Geirim because of sort of the difficult road of a Geir. The other side of that spectrum is that opinion that Tosa says, why Kashim Geirim Kusapachas? Because we're told, Tosa says, that either 24 or 36 places of Ahavas Ager, and we can't fulfill it properly, right? We have Geirim in our shul, and perhaps we're not welcoming them properly, we're not reaching out properly, and therefore that's another possibility. There's an opinion brought down in Tosfos by all people, by Rav Avraham Ager, who's one of the Bali Tosfos. You would sort of be fascinated to see what one of the Bali Tosfos, who was the Ger, said on that line. He says, no, the reason that Kashim Gerim Lisokos Apachas, that Gerim are so difficult, is because in comparison to the Hislavus, in comparison to the enthusiasm of the Ger, the Jews look, you know, somewhat mediocre. You know, you have a ger over there, he's the first person shul, he's doing this, he's davening tikkun chatzos, and the guy who sort of went to, you know, like many of us, he doesn't want to hear about it. So therefore, it's difficult because of the comparison to the ger, but again, that line perhaps might sort of temper some of the enthusiasm of those previous sources. Now, I wonder if we had more time, I would spend more time on this. Any questions, thoughts until now? If we had more time, we would do this more in depth. But I do want to highlight, there's a beautiful article by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in Tradition Magazine from many, many years ago, 25 years ago already, speaking about the whole Tradition Magazine. This edition was all dedicated towards issues of Geirus. And Rav Aaron has a beautiful article that he describes that there's a certain duality in Yahadus itself that is reflected in the Geirus process. What does it mean, a duality in Yahadus? If I ask you to identify and highlight what is sort of a critical factor of a person to be a Jew, so you would say it's each person's individual connection with God, each person's individual searching for God, searching for meaning, searching for dveikus. There's a very sort of personalized, subjective, individualistic quality of a person searching for God. That's definitely one side of it. But by the same token, right, with all of that beautiful individuality and subjectivity, there are very clear standards, very clear sets of halachos, very clear yes and no, community standards, the history of Israel, the Torah of Israel. And Raron said, in that same way that each of us, as a Jew, we have to confront both of those things. The individualistic, subjective, searching for God in a meaningful way that might not always be bound by zmanei tefillah and all sorts of different halachic normative standards, but at the same time, those halachic standards, the communal standards, the standards of history, etc. So too, when we bring a ger in, that idea of gerus is very much defined as well by those two poles. Geirus, on the one hand, is a real individual experience. A person who's been searching his whole life, her whole life, stories I mentioned before, you know, from the pulpit, a person searching for God, a person who, let's say, we see source number 8, so the Geirshin is Geir, Kakotan Shinola Dami, a person becomes almost like reborn in this process. They look at Bereshis Rabbah. There's a Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charon. The Nefesh which they made in Charon, Amr B'Lazar Ben Zimra, in Miskansin Kolboya Olam Livro, you can bring, this is sort of like a science fiction movie, you can bring the entire universe and ask them to create a human life. Afilu Yetush Echad Eino Yecholon Lizrak Bo Neshama. What does that mean? Even the smallest fly, you would not be able to create. Now, is that still true nowadays? It's probably not so true anymore. You can probably, create a computer-generated fly, right? So therefore, v'at amar v'esanefesh asher asu, that you say they made nefashos, what does that mean? So Medrash continues, el elo hagerim shigayru, these are the converts, v'im kein shigayru lama amar asu. If they converted them, why does it say that Avram Avinu made them? El elam decha shikol mishu mikari v'sa'ove kochavim m'migayru, that the person who brings a person in and converts him, it's as though that he created him, he gave birth to him. And very much the process of Geirus is that individualistic rebirth, aliveness, being created, having a person to help be Miskayer you, and that's only one piece of it. But by the same token, if you flip the page over to the Gemara in Yuvamos, Amar Rechi Bar Av, Amar Yochanan, Ger Tzarich Gimel, if a Ger comes to convert, so you require Gimel, what does Gimel mean, obviously? You require a basin. It's no different than if I sue you in court, or if you bring me to court, we require a basin. Why? Mishpat Kesivbei. Because at the end of the day, it's a mishpat. It's a halacha. There are halachic standards. If you look in the Rambam, the next source, so Tavo Beino Levein Atzmo, a person says, you know what? In my very individualistic, subjective, spiritual, transcendent state, I decide to go ahead and convert. So maybe it's an obvious point. So Gemara says, "Vafil b'fnei shnayim, you did it in front of two edim, ain't no ger." Because what I do individually, really, even though it's significant, really is not enough. And so do we see in source 12, 13, and 14, the same idea. The Rambam says that when the gerim come, Ketz and Mekablin, Geri had said that, how do we accept the ger? The guy comes to convert. He seems like a pretty good guy. We haven't found any problems. What do we tell him? This is like a great, like, you know, throw out the welcome mat, right? What do we tell him? You know, so was that what crazy? You look around. So Mara Isa Shabbosal is Gayer. What in the world did you possibly see that would make you want to convert? See, nowadays, by the way, if you're living in the late 20th century, early 21st century, you know, a person can say, well, you know, the lawyers, the doctors, you know, look in Goldman Sachs, go ahead, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But obviously for most of history, you know, it was not a rosy picture at all. So, you have to throw in every word that rhymes. Don't you know the state of the Jewish people? So, im Omar, ani yodea v'eini kedai mekavon otzom yad. The person says, I know, and it's difficult, but this is what I want, so we accept him right away. But the point being is that it's not just sort of a personal experience, we are making him to be part of a community, part of a trajectory of Jewish history. And this is this very famous tshuva that we actually learned together over Pesach, where the Rambam was asked the question, whether a person who converted, whether he can say the brachos, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, my God or our God, the God of our forefathers, whether you can do all these mitzvahs that require the history of the Jewish people. So in there, the Rambam says very beautifully to this ger, Ovadja HaGer, he says, once you've converted, it's as though you are the child of Avraham Avinu. It's as though that you yourself, your soul was back in Har Sinai, because the conversion is not just the personal experience, but it's the halachic experience, it's the national experience, and all of that sort of goes into the Geirus itself. And so again, to what Shai said before, the ultimate expression of that, of course, is Ruach, which we'll read about next week. Amech Ami, Velokayach Elokai, right? In other words, it's really both statements. Your nation is my nation. Your God is my God. Both very much the national, the halachic perhaps, as well as the personal as well. And those are the two things. We often think, I don't mean to proselytize, proselytize is not the right word, I don't mean to preach, if I had to proselytize, you know, talk to me later. We'll sit down. But you know, often in the way that we view life, you ask somebody, you know, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing? Well, the most important thing is to be a nice person, to be a moral person, to be an ethical person. I mean, that's obviously critical, right? But to say that what a Jew is first and foremost is a nice, ethical, moral person, that's really missing out on sort of to some degree the essence of sort of the Jewish experience. That's very much connected to a nation, to a land, to the Torah, to halacha, and that's obviously express in these two pieces of the Geirus. Okay, now that obviously leads us to the third piece of this discussion. Anybody have a comment, a thought before we move weiter? Yeah.
So in reality, you know, you talk about the hundreds of cases that come before you.
Yeah.
I mean, are these hundreds of cases people that really want to, you know, accept Olmach Shemaim, or they're getting, or they want to be part of the Jewish nation because of marital reasons?
They say they do. Well, listen, so the issue of marital reasons is actually something we'll talk about in two times from now. You know, as I'm sure you know, a person can't come and convert for the purpose of marriage.
Right.
Now, if what is not uncommon, even in cases done by a reputable Orthodox Beis Din, is two people meet, and then over a period of time, the person who's not Jewish, like, genuinely becomes interested. I often, in many of these cases I actually see, the person who ends up converting ends up being much more serious about Yadus in the first place, because they got interested, sort of from an outsider. Their boyfriend or girlfriend grew up in a, you know, I'm not disparaging, you know, conservative temple somewhere, and their family's not so interested. So in a case like that, where now their observance is independent of of the boyfriend or girlfriend, so therefore there'll be a lot in that case. So in all those cases, the only way that a place like RCA would convert someone is if there was a full Olmach Hushmaim, a full Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, a full all of those things. That would be the only way that would be done. And that's really based on what we're going to see now over the course of the next 20 minutes or so. Take a look at the Gemara Yevamos. It's actually worth sort of reading this whole Gemara inside, because it really sort of informs all of the halachas. So Tana Rabbanan, Ger Shabbat Lihisgayer Bisman Hazet. A ger who comes to convert nowadays, now obviously what line in there or what words in there are a little bit, it sort of gets your gander up, so to speak, gets your attention. What's that? Try what you say? Bisman Hazet, as opposed to what? Right? What's that? Well, no, this is the Gemara.
Right, so I'm saying that's the time.
Right, and so the question is, he's obviously saying that this is the way we do now. When was that different? Right? Was that before Kabbalah Satorah? Was it before, you know? So, okay, so Gersha Shabbat Lizgayrabis Manhazeh, Omrim Lo, we tell him. So again, so Mara Isa, this is what the Rambam quoted, Shabbat Lizgayr, Iyata Yodesh Yisrael Biz Manhazeh. Again, getting all these rhyming words in. Devuyim, dechufim, sechufim, umiturafin. Not painting a great picture. We're torn apart. We're the lowest of the low. Beyisurin boin aleihem. Imomer yodea niv eina kedai. I know that, but I'm still not worthy to be part of this great nation. Mekablono so miyat. Now that's a very interesting language. We take him right away. Well, let me right away. He comes the first day, and that's it. And then, okay, so Modino, so, and in that process, we let him know mitzas mitzvos kalos, mitzas mitzvos chamuros. Some of the lighter mitzvos, easier mitzvos, and some of the harder mitzvos. Modino, so avon leket shichcho peil ani. We tell him what the punishment is if he violates some of these mitzvos. Umodino so anchan shemitzvos. We let him know the punishment of mitzvos. Omim lo havi odeya sha'ad shelo basa lamidazu. Don't you know that until you came to us, achalta chaylev iyata anushkaris? You can eat all the chaylev you want. I don't know if that's on the list of things you have, like, you know, lobster, shrimp, chaylev, you know, okay? So, but if you wanted to, you can eat any chaylev you wanted. Okay, and there would be no anush kares. Chilal to Shabbos. If you want to go to movie on Shabbos, iata anush kila. V'achshav atal achal to chaylev anush kares. Chilal to Shabbos anush kila. Ukeshem shmodino so anchin shemitzvos. Kach modino so matan scharon. We let him know how great it is to be a Jew. Omrim lo hevi odeya shaolum haba ino asoy elul tzadikim. V'Israel bezman hazeh and michom lekabel. Lo rov tova v'lo rov peronios. Vein mar bin alav. We don't make it sort of too much for him. Vein medatikin alav. We don't tell him every single thing. But kibel. But if he says yes, I have a good general sense about all these mitzvos. So malin oso miyad. We give bris mila. Nisrape. Once he's better, matbilon oso miyad. We bring him to the mikvah. Okay. V'sheita mikvacham me'omdim al gabav. Modinos mixas mitzvos kalos. Mixas mitzvos chamuros. Again, at the actual tefillah, there are people that are standing there telling him, do you know all the mitzvos? Do you know some of the mitzvos, etc.? So, tavo vi Allah, haruhu ki Yisrael l'chol dvarav. Okay, so this Gemara It's not exactly black and white. It's not black and white what the procedure is, what the process is, but it seems the way that we learn from this Gemara, the person comes, we tell him initially, the beginning of the process, do you know that this is difficult? Yes. Do you know what it means to be part of a Jewish nation? Yes. And then we tell him the mitzvos, he learns over the course of the next a year usually, and then he goes to the mikvah. But again, we let him know most of the halachos, a lot of the halachos, easy halachos, hard halachos, not everything in depth, but enough that he can have a Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs. So the Gemara says in Bechoros, which really dovetails this Gemara in Yevamos, Tana Rabbanan, Avikol Chav Mishabal L'Kabel Divrei Torah Chutz Midavar Echad. Okay, everyone could sort of make in their head what would be that one thing that you wouldn't want to give up if you were becoming Jewish, right? So, Ein Mekaplan Osel. The person says, I want to accept 612 mitzvos, but I refuse to give up blank, okay? So, what's that?
Cheeseburger,
yeah. So, right, try to give him the tofu burger, see what he says. We'll chase him away from Yadus in no time with the, yeah.
Dr. Laura was on the radio and somebody called in about something wanting to convert. Or she converted already and she had a problem. So Dr. Laura says, what was the most thing that you missed the most since you converted? She goes, eating shrimp.
Eating shrimp.
That she couldn't give up.
Didn't Dr. Laura become like a self-hating? She's like very into, no, something happened?
I haven't heard from her in years.
Yeah. She was too much for my taste. But okay, but anyway, so okay. So a person says, I'm going to convert, but I accept everything, but except for this one thing, I won't give this one thing up. Even one thing from the Chachamim. Right? A person says, you know what, I'm not going to care about Erev Chatzair, something. I mean, okay. So then, even in that case, so we still say that the Geirus is not good, right? I mean, that Gemara obviously is saying that Kabbalah and Mitzvos is absolutely critical, even though, and a person says, I'm going to do everything besides this one thing, so the Geirus is not good. Now, what problem does that bring up? What problem sort of rises based on the Gemara that probably everyone here knows, one of the more famous Gemaras in Shas? So the Gemara says in the Gemara in Shabbos, so Tana Rabbana, Masa B'Nochri Echad Shebal L'Pnei Shammai. These are the famous Hillel and Shammai Gemaras. This guy comes in front of Shammai, and he says, skipping down a line, Gyurani Amanashi Tilamdeni Torah Shebichsav. Convert me on the condition that you teach me only Torah Shebichsav. So Garbo, what did Shammai do? Smacked him in the face. The Hotzi ben Zifa dragged him away from there. Balifne Hillel Gairei, and Hillel converted him. Okay, Shuv Ma'isem Benachri Echad Balifne Shammai Amarle Gairei Amanas She Tisimeni Kohen Gadol. Right, apparently this guy didn't hear about the first guy. He's like, convert me on the condition that you will make me a Kohen Gadol, which of course is impossible. So Dachvu be almost a binyan shbiyado. Okay, not good. Balifne Hillel Gairei. So Balifne Hillel Amarlo, etc. Now, the question obviously in this case is, here's a guy who comes, he's not really being capable of all the mitzvahs, he says, only teach me Torah Shebichsav, he tells me, convert me in the condition I'm going to be a Kohen Gadol, which is impossible. So it seems like the whole thing violates the spirit and the tochen of the Gemara Yevamos Mechoros that says that a person needs a genuine Kabbalah and mitzvahs. So the Rishonim, let's take a look at Rashi and Tosfos here. So Gairei, page 3, so v'samach al chachmaso shesofo shiargileinu l'kabel olav. Hillel said, you know what, this guy's a character. This guy's saying, I'm only going to do X, Y, and Z, but Hillel had enough confidence in this person to know that even though the Kabbalah HaMitzvos was not complete now, certainly down the road, that would be complete. Take a look at Tosfos, source number 19. Vahid Diperk Beis the Shabbos, Hahudi also the Kameh de Hillel, Vyamrik Iranium, Manas Lasos Kon Godol, Sabatua Chaya Hillel, the Sofo, Lasos Hashem Shemayim. Okay, it's not a great Geirus now, because he's doing it on the condition of being a Kohen Gadol, but Hillel had a feeling that eventually this Geirus would be a good Geirus. So based on that, the Shach says, in source 20, Kishayovo Hager, So the Kotzva tells us that he the Berkamed the Shabbos, the also Kamed the Hill of Yomer Le, Gaireni Amanashi Ekon Gadol, Batua Chayo the Sofu La Sos Shem Shemayim, what Tosva says, so Mikan Yesh Lumod, Takolafi Ra'os Eine HaBeisin. Right? That we don't say there's one standard. Every Beit Din has to make a decision. Is this person sincere? Is this person going to be Mekabal of the mitzvahs or not? As opposed to saying that there's one black and white standard that every single Beit Din has to necessarily abide by. Okay? Everyone see that point? Fine. Just very briefly, just mention a halacha, which is halacha l'maisa. We mentioned before that because gerus is mishpat, gerus is law, therefore you need a beis din of three people, correct? Now, how many different pieces of the gerus are there? There is mila, the bris, there's tevila, going to the mikvah, there's kabbalah some mitzvahs. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that l'charchila, ideally, you need a beis din for all three of these pieces. You need a beis din for the mila, you need a beis din for the tevila, you need a beis din for kabbalah some mitzvahs. Anybody know a problem? Is this a pragmatic problem with that statement? You need a beis din for all three of those pieces. So one issue, this is just sort of neither here nor there, not to give anybody a moment to pause, or a moment of pause, is to do have like a beis din. Let's say if you have a man who's coming to convert, so the average man who converts nowadays has a mila anyway, for many, many different reasons. But let's say if he didn't, you know, it's hard how to navigate an issue of a beis din watching a grown man get a bris mila and to sort of protect his dignity. That's obviously a complicated issue. What's that? Okay, but even so, you know, three rabbanim watching this guy is about to convert. Right, but Beis Din has to see it. That's the point. Being outside isn't helpful. So again, it's very rare that a person needs a full-fledged mila nowadays. Right? Usually you need what's called a hatafas dam bris, just like a pinprick. And then something maybe we'll discuss another time. But the more relevant issue is how a Beis Din sees a woman go to the mikvah. And nowadays, mikvahs nowadays are sort of well-equipped for this. They have tarps and they have special sheets, etc., so that the woman feels very comfortable. There's no issue with tznius, but that the basin still sees. Now, all those things, according to the mechaber, is l'chachila. If for some reason the woman goes in and the basin does not see, so then b'di'evi, the gerus, is still good. If the basin does not see the mila, the gerus is still good. But the mechaber says, at the end of source number 2, chutz mikabalos ha-mitzvos, that's not true when it comes to acceptance of mitzvos, shema keves im eina b'yom u'bishlosha. That if you have kabbalas ha-mitzvos, and you don't have a beis din there to witness the acceptance of the mitzvos, so that whole gerus is not good. Why? So the Taz says, chutz mikabalos ha-mitzvos, shezehu guf ha-davar v'ascholoso. The essence of the gerus is not the mila, it's not the tevila, but it's the kabbalas ha-mitzvos, and that is the absolute, absolute ikar. Now, based on the Gemara in Bechoros, so it seems, and probably the Gemara in Yevamos, the implication would be, and the Shulchan Aruch, that a person needs a full Kabbalas HaMitzvos, a full acceptance of mitzvos. Now, that sounds great, but the reality is that that's where really the complication lies. Let's say a person had a conservative conversion. Let's say a person had a conversion, as Ellie pointed out, for marriage. Let's say a person had a conversion and we thought he was sincere, but he really was not sincere. As much as we can say that every single gerus should be, and we hope and pray, is totally done, kadasu kadin, what happens when there are complexities and challenges within that? Any questions, any thoughts before we move forward? So I want to mention very briefly, just in the next few minutes, some of the very famous literature that was written about this topic. This has been a raging issue for hundreds of years, but especially in the last 100 years. There's a tshuva by the Achiezer. Everybody know who the Achiezer is? The Achiezer was Chaim Ozer Grudzinski, who was the major Rav, major postik, based in Vilna before the war, a legendary person, a person of tremendous genius, tremendous leadership abilities, and one of his most famous tshuvos is about this topic. Okay, he actually has three tshuvos on it, but I just photocopied a small piece. Umehai time manira mashachosha sharava gaon barena rav yosef posin legayer lefishal yishmur dina yisro kahalacha. We're concerned that a certain ger is not going to keep the laws. Efshar lomar de'ein lochush lazeh keva de mekabel alav kol mitzvos af shechoshev la'avur aleza meha mitzvos achakach l'teyavon. In other words, the gerus is good even though what? Right? Even though, what's Achiezer saying? Even though, you know, at the end of the day, he may go ahead and may say, you know what, it was just too much. Okay, I said I'm going to do everything. I think I was pretty sincere about it. I tried my best. At the end of the day, okay, I'm not a shomer mitzvos. So the Achiezer says that gerus is still good. Again, let's read the line inside. Efshalomer de'ein lochush lozeh came into mekabel olav kol mitzvos. When he did it, he said he was going to do it. Af shechoshev lavur al eze meha mitzvos achakach l'teyavon. What does that mean? Even more that he did it? It would be medayik in the language of the Achiezer. Af shechoshev la'avor al ezim emitz akach l'tiyavon. Anybody? What does that mean? Even the time of the gerus itself, he says he's going to do it, he's committed, but you know there might be some doubts in his mind about the future. The Achiezer still says it's a gerus. Because the Kabbalah of Mitzvot was sincere, even though in the back of his head there might have been some doubts about the future. The Achiezer continues, the Chaim Ozer continues, B'kamakum einzem menil Kabbalah of Mitzvot, this is still a good gerus, V'davka hecha will be a case that's not good, right? Shemasna shelo l'kaba alav. Zeu chisar mikabas hamitzvos demiakev. What case is not good? What does he do? Okay, he says it explicitly. He says he makes a condition. I'll convert, but you know, quite honestly, I'm converting, but I'm not really going to keep Shabbos. That case is not good, right? But if he says he's going to do it, even though perhaps in the back of his mind he was skeptical, that it still is in fact good. Okay, yeah, Lisa. Yeah, Togel v'sheret biyado. Yeah. Right, okay. So the Achiezer sort of makes things more confusing, and I don't want to make things more confusing, the hour is late, but he says in this last line, okay, Ulam, hecha shebarer hadavar, shebevada yavor acharei chein, al isuri Torah, chil Shabbos v'chil shtreifos, v'yonu yod beveir kavanaso, she'edem izgayer rak lefnim, v'libo balimo, hari umdana demuchach, shemash omer shemekabal of a mitzvos, lav klumhu. What does that mean? The guy comes and he says, I'm going to do it. I want to do it. I'm sincere about doing it. There's a great girl. I love Judaism. But meanwhile, what happens? He lives 4 miles away from the shul. Okay? Or his kids are in public school. Or he doesn't put on tefillin. Meaning there's what's called an umdana demuchach. We know, right? We know, even though no matter what he says, so we know that he's going to violate the mitzvahs down the road. So that case is Achiezer. The gerus is not good. And it'll be usher to go ahead and do this gerus. Okay, so again, so according to Achiezer, there are three cases. There's a case of a guy who's very sincere. I'm going to do it. Even though perhaps, forever is a long time. That gerus is good. The guy who makes the condition that he says it's not going to do, it's obviously not good. And then the third case, which is tricky, which is actually the most common case, we convert to somebody, the guy says, I'm going to keep the mitzvos, they seem very sincere about it, but the nature of their life is such that you're pretty sure, as a Beis Din, that they're not going to keep mitzvos just based on the reality of their life. Okay, very briefly, I know people are starting to fade a little bit. Mention is two different tshuvos of Rav Moshe Feinstein. See, this is Rav Moshe number 25. Now, Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva in Tuf Resh Pei Tes. Anybody know when that is? It's a long time ago. What's that? A long time ago. Sometime in the 1920s. When Rav Moshe was still actually living, I was going to say, it was a little less than 80 years ago, 90 years ago, when Rav Moshe was still living in Russia. So Begir Shein Sahadeh Shalo Shein Sahadeh Shalo Kiva Mitzvos Av Shamer Befiv Shemekabel. He says he's going to keep it, but we're not totally sure whether or not he's sincere about it. So Pashut Barur She'eno Ger Klal Af B'Dieved. Right? Even if you did the conversion, but it was clear from the onset that he was not sincere about it, so Moshe says that would not even be a good gerus. V'chein horem Abba Mari, my father had ga'on halach l'maisa. Okay? So and then he's skipping down one line. U'bichlal, eini yodei tam ha'rabanim ha'toyim b'zeh. Why would rabbis convert people if they know these people are not going to go ahead and keep mitzvahs? What's the reason they would even engage in such an enterprise? So the affluent ditu al kapanim ezu tovelos hemivim bezel chai Yisrael shemikabim geirim keelu. What good are they doing for Klai Yisrael that Klai Yisrael is accepting geirim like this, where the geirus was not good? And then all the complications about marriage in Israel and all those other things as well. That's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, that Gerim, that never make a full kibbutz and mitzvos, are accepted. Ramosha goes on to have another tshuva, does even read the first line. B'dover ha-gerus shaya etzel. What is this? Some guy by the name of Rabbi. So Rabbi, right? Like conservative rabbis, right? Conservative rabbis, Shalohaya b'kabbalas mitzvot karai, is that a good geirus? Rav Moshe says, it's not a good geirus, but he wants to be melamed tzchus. You can read through the shuvah by yourself, if you're so inclined. Namely, that when this person comes to convert through the conservative movement, they feel they're making a kabbalas mitzvot. Right? They don't know about this or shatnez or this or a thousand other things. They say, yeah, whatever mitzvahs we're told about, we do. And maybe he says, because whatever they think they're accepting, they do want to accept, maybe that's some tzad to say that perhaps in fact the geirus would be a good geirus. But Moshe obviously is very comfortable with the idea of conservative conversions. Okay, he has the last shuvah also sort of along these same lines as well. I was reading through the first line of it. So Shlishis Mistaber Mishmos Kama Dvarim, the Ger Shekibokol HaMitzvos Avo Omar LaHabestin. Right, you can imagine this being an issue throughout Jewish history. They tell the Bastin Shav Shemekabo Lov Kol HaMitzvos Yodeh Shelo Yuchal LaAmod B'Nisayon LeHoreg Kishyantzuhu B'Dvarim Shadinu SheYehareg V'Lo Yavor. A person wants to convert when? For hundreds of years, you know, during the Crusades, for instance, right? He says, I want to convert, I'm sincere about it, but I'm not sure that I'll be able to withstand the pressure to convert if that comes my way. Can you accept that there or not? Can you accept that person or not? And Moshe says, you know what, it's not a problem. Okay, now from everything we've seen, the Achiezer, although the Achiezer is nuanced, Rav Moshe, although Rav Moshe is nuanced as well, if you look in 98-99% of all the Acharonim, all the Rishonim, clearly Kabbalah some mitzvos, to accept mitzvos is absolutely critical. And the question is then, how could people, why would people, sort of leaving Shai's point, very good point aside, where would a Beis Din come and say, we're going to convert someone, even though we have a pretty good clue, or even more than a good clue, that this person is not going to be Shomer Shabbos? Where would that possibly come from? Okay, what might be the svara? What might be the reasoning? We saw the Gemara in Yevamos. We teach them that in the Kabbalah of the Mitzvos, the Gemara in Bechoros. So take a look in this tshuva of the Piskei Uziel. Piskei Uziel, anybody know what that is? We don't have the, obviously, if you see the name Piskei Uziel, you know right off the bat it's a Sephardi person. This was Ben Sion Meir Uziel, who was the Rav HaRashi, the Sephardi chief rabbi around the same time the Rav Herzog was, late 30s and 40s and early 50s. And he wrote this in a tshuva, and you'll see why this tshuva has been sort of the banner that's been waved by many people for geirus. So Teda Ode, let's just see these sort of seven lines, eight lines inside, okay? So Teda O Chahari Begoi Habali Hiskayer. A non-Jew comes to convert, Modimo so Ikare Hadas. Right, what is that? We teach him the 13 principles of faith or the foundations of faith. Shehu Yichud Hashem, V'Yisrael Vodazara, the big ones. Umarichinimo Bedover Zeb, V'Elu Bekabalos Mitzvos, Modino Sub Mitzas, Mitzas Kalos V'Chamuros. We teach him some of the easier mitzvos, the harder mitzvos. V'Emedatikin Alav Lahodio, Kol Dikduke Onshin. We don't sort of go through telling him the punishment is this for this and this is for that. So the Shemak of Anasul Shemayim. Maybe he's a Shem Shemayim. Why do we want to scare this poor person off? So Mikamafura Shiotse, Shein Dorshim Yimenu Lukayim HaMitzvos. What we see from here is that we tell him a little bit about Mitzvos Kalos, Mitzvos Chamuros, but the Ein Dorshim. What's Ein Dorshim? We don't demand it, we don't require for him to be mekayim the mitzvos. The afloat tzar shebeis din yedu sheyikayim osan. What does that mean? The Beis Din doesn't have to know for sure whether or not he's going to keep the mitzvahs. All we have to do is tell him a little bit about the mitzvahs. The im lo kein lo yiskabel ger b'Yisrael. Because if we make him keep all the mitzvahs, we'll never be mekabel ger. And this sort of shai gets to your point about the sifrei. The mi ya'arov shegoy zeh yeneh mamcha mitzvahs Torah. Who could ever sort of, it's not palatable to anybody that this non-Jew would ever be mekabel all the mitzvahs. Okay? So, and he continues sort of in that vein, moving forward. Now obviously this is a very, very controversial tshuva. This is the chief Sephardi rabbi in Israel saying that we really don't have to be mekabel all the mitzvos. It's enough that we know the person's sincere. They have the ikrei hadas. We let him know modi and lo, mitzvos kalos, mitzvos chamuros. And that's it. If we make it too hard for him, no one's going to want to go ahead and convert. Any thoughts about the tshuva? Right?
Yes, you have to have kabbalas or mitzvahs, but that doesn't mean that the ger has to know every minute detail of every single halacha. No practicing from Jew knows that. So the person has to say, I accept whatever the halacha is and whatever I learn from time to time, but on the day when he's being the guy here,
right.
Know every single halacha.
No, you're right. But there's one key line in the Mishpatei Uzio which sort of makes more radical than what you said. Because you see the third line, Mikan Mefurish Yotzei, Shein Dorishim Yimenu L'Kayim Mitzvos, we don't demand that of him. As opposed to Rav Moshe would say, okay, you're not perfect, but do you accept right now all the mitzvahs you know about, all the mitzvahs you don't know about, mitzvahs d'oraisa, mitzvahs d'rabbanan. So the typical Orthodox Beis Din will not convert a person unless they have sort of had that information. Now, according to Rav Uziel, you would require that. We don't ask that question.
I don't
mean it. The Beis Din doesn't have to know that.
Right, but I don't think he's saying anything differently. I think he's saying, yes, you don't have to know that, but if you did know it, we're not pushing him, I think, what Piskei Uziel is saying. We're not pushing him to say, do you know every halacha and do you accept every halacha? But I think Rav Moshe would say the same thing.
I don't think so.
You think Rav Moshe would expect him to know every single
halacha? No, but I don't think that's what he means. Shane Dor should be mental kind of business. We don't inquire into it. We're not asking about it. Meaning, whatever he does, he does. We're not, I mean...
No, he's saying,
Right. According to Ruzo says, if this person has not been Mekayim Shabbos or has not been Mekabel Mitzvot, the Geras is still good. As long as he has Yikari Hadas, as long as he basically knows what he's getting into, even if he was not Mekabel Mitzvot. And according to all other basic Sephardi posts and Ashkenazi posts, it's not true. He has been Mekabel Mitzvot. He may not know everything, but he has been Mekabel them.
Taking them on, saying, I'm willing to take on whatever the halacha says that they're doing.
Right.
Is he actually doing it right now?
Right.
So if he says, I'm willing to take on Shabbos...
So according to Rav Uziel, and the many people who sort of now use this tshuva, you don't even require that first part of it. You don't need someone to say, I'm going to be mekabel, things... What's that?
How is that kabbalas on mitzvahs?
So then it's not. So then you're... So then, basically, the way that he would learn the Gemara, and you might be able to learn the Gemara in Yuvalos this way, sorry, not the Gemara in Mechoros, is that Kabbalas and Mitzvahs is not so important, right? Modino, so we let him know he wants to be part of Chai, so he wants to be part of history of Chai, so he knows what he's getting into, Ikari Hadas, etc., etc. So the Kabbalas and Mitzvahs is not.
Dramatically,
totally different. Now, this mention is very briefly, I mean, it's dramatically different. The only thing that might, in a way, support this tshuva, and again, nowadays, you don't see any gedolim who've gone in this direction. Okay, even though he was someone, he was the Rav Harishi, etc. You know, it's not as though we are mekabel in general, piske halacha of Ben Zion Meir Uziel, right? That all of a sudden now, it's sort of like by Rav Soloveitchik when it comes to shaving. Right, you know, most of the average person doesn't sort of hold by the psak of Rav Soloveitchik in every area. Soloveitchik says you should never use an eruv. Okay, you should never do this. You should never do that. But then all of a sudden, when it comes to sfira, Rav Soloveitchik said, "Yeah, it's no problem. There's no necessity of not shaving during sfira." Now I was like, "Okay, I hold like the Rav." Well, you can't hold like the Rav when it comes to not shaving in sfira and ignore the 45 other, you know, brisker chumras. You know, so to go ahead and all of a sudden now to sort of like for a dayan in the west side to pull off the shelf the tshuva of the Mishpat to Uziel, you know, it seems sort of somewhat disingenuous, and this shuva has been rejected, but you can sort of see why this shuva would lead to sort of certain complications. Now, we looked at that even further, because if it was just, you know, no offense, Rav Uziel, as big as the Talmid Chacham he was an Adam Gadol, he was a Tzaddik, he was one of the close Talmidim of Rav Kook, tremendous Ohev Yisrael. But the way that people learn the Rambam is a little bit, it's a little bit of a complicated issue as well. We're not going to go through the entire Rambam right now, okay? The Rambam really sort of goes through a lot of these Psakim already, but pick up on the Rambam towards like the last third. Lofishe Gier, Shlomo Nashim V'Nasan, okay? Shlomo sort of getting to a Shai's point a little bit before, he converted these women and he married them. Anybody have a comment on that? That Shlomo converted these women and married them? Anybody know Malachim really well? It doesn't say anywhere in Malachim that he converted them, which isn't a problem, but it doesn't, you know, the Rambam says that. Not every Rishon agrees with the Rambam. V'chein Shimshon Gier V'nasa, okay? V'hadavar Yadua Shlo Chazru Eilu Ela Bishvil Davar V'lo Alpi based in Gairum Cheshma Kosov Ilu Hein Akum U'bisurud Omdin. Okay? The point the Rambam is making is that these people, the wives of Shlomo, converted for insincere reasons, sort of like what Eliot said before, and therefore their conversion was not good because they converted, because who wouldn't want to be the wife of King Solomon, etc. Okay? V'ot Shehochiach Sofan Al Tchilason Shehein Ovdos, that if we see at the end, these women continue to worship idols, so banu lahen bamos, etc., etc. Okay, so take a look at the last part of this. So we're supposed to research every ger. Why are you converting? Why are you here? Are you in it for the riches? Are you in it for the money? Are you in it for the, you know, whatever it might be? So ger shelo badku acharav, if we do not research a ger when he comes, o shloho diyu ha-mitzvos, or if we don't let him know and make him commit, or possibly make him commit to the mitzvos, the onchan, okay, umal v'tovel b'fnei gimel hidyotos, hari zager, right? But the Rambam says, if we don't look into him, and we just sort of rush him through, somebody pays you some money under the table, you rush him through, you do the mila and the tevila, so the geris is still a good geris. That's what the Rambam says. Now the implication is being what? The implication is what?
Yeah,
so they look at the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah is not some small fish. So the Magid Mishnah says, "Ger shlo baku acharav ze pashut shein hodos hamitzvos ma'akiv d'yevet." Right? I mean, if this guy, we didn't tell him what to do, he wasn't mekabel the mitzvos, we didn't check his background, but we rushed off and we gave him a mila, we did a tevila, the geiris is still good. Clearly, Ishaya says, not clearly, the Magid Mishnah learns, we see the kabbalas and mitzvos is not miyakev. Kabbalas and mitzvos is not absolutely critical, and that's the conclusion the Magid Mishnah and others came to from the Rambam. Now most people do not, and I don't want to conclude at this point, most people do not learn the Rambam this way at all. Okay, because the Rambam here does not speak about the integral nature of Kabbalah and Mitzvot. How do most people learn this Rambam? And I did not photocopy it, but there's a very beautiful essay by Rav Soloveitchik and others on this topic. Namely, the Rambam didn't have to lay out how integral Kabbalah and Mitzvot was, because that's obvious. Right? Because what is Geirus if it's not Kabbalah of the Torah, Kabbalah of the foundations of Jewish law and Jewish practice? And therefore, when we talk about Geirus, what Geirus is Kabbalah of the Mitzvot. And the Rambam doesn't have to go ahead and specify that that's integral, because for Rambam that's obvious. Take a look at the next Rambam, source number 31. V'chein l'doros k'shiyirtza ha'akum likonis labris ulehistofeif tachas kanfei hashchina v'kabal lov ol Torah tzarech milot fil of hartzos karbam. When the ger comes, what does it mean a ger coming? A ger coming means to be mekabel I love all Torah. That is Geirus. So when he wants that, so the way of doing it is Milo Tefillah. Kabbalah's mitzvah for the Rambam is not a part of the process, it's not a step in the process, but that is the ikur, that is the thing itself, and therefore maybe that's why the Rambam, in the earlier source, Halacha Yudalid, does not have to sort of lay that out in a way that is explicit. Okay, let's mention again what we did this evening. We spoke about the mitzvah Avas Ager. The Rambam lists that as a separate mitzvah. We have the Pasuk in the Torah, the Sifrei that says that part of loving God is bringing people to love God as well. The Tanchuma that quotes the idea that we should love a ger, or the gerim are loved even more than Klal Yisrael because they never heard the kolos of Rakun at Har Sinai. We spoke about Var Luchtenstein and his idea that when a person comes to Yadus, there are two elements. There is the element of the personal, subjective, individualistic experience of connecting to God, the ger shnis gayer kapatan shenolo dami, the rebirth of a person who's converting, and there's also the connection to Torah, community, history, objective standards, mishpat, din, halach, etc. And last we went to the last phase of this, that what the Gemara tells us about the three stages of gerus, mila, tevila, and kabbalas mitzvos. The Shach points out that kabbalas mitzvos is the ikur itself. The Gemara that tells us the modino, so we make him know the mitzvos, even not every mitzvah, but many mitzvos. The Gemara in Bechoros says if you convert, believing something out, it's not a good gerus. And all the various discussions in the Chuvos, the Achiezer of Moshe Feinstein, the Mishmatei Uziel, and the Rambam that highlights the significance of the mitzvos, and those perhaps who say that might not be as significant. Okay, any questions, issues, thoughts? Okay, Mishnah, we'll pick up here in 2 weeks to go through some of the issues of people who convert for marriage, people who convert, who perhaps their parents are not Orthodox, issues of adoption when it comes to issues of conversion. So let's go through some of the very, very relevant contemporary halacha maisa issues that come up in regards to gerus.
Right.
More people want to convert, and you also have a lot of cases. You have so many Jews on college campuses now, which was not true, you know, 50 years ago. I mean, the changing landscape definitely creates more sort of a demand for gerus. That's definitely a show.
Right.
Much more now than 100 years ago.
Because this is a result of the intermarriages.
It's a lot. It's also a result of the less anti-Semitism there is in this country. So the Jew is not the outsider anymore. He's just working in, you know, so... Okay. Check, can you stay from Arab and find one more person, maybe? Do you mind?
What?
You also doubt.
I doubt him, yeah. I wasn't sure if there's going to be a minute, so.
Not as good as we thought it would be.
So, you'd rather give me some? Give me some? Do you want to go?